Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann.
And I'm Robert.
And we're delighted to have with us this evening a very special guest, and we'll get to her in just a moment. I'd first like to remind everyone about our website, Well-Rounded Corners, wellroundedcorners.com. You can listen to all of our past shows there for free, and you can also find us on iTunes by searching Well-Rounded Corners. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, all new shows automatically download to your computer or iPod within 48 hours of broadcast. You can also listen to us in the archives of our BBS radio page or live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1.
Absolutely, and we are delighted to have back with us Michelle Avanti. She was with us back in episode 13. She's a published ISAR certified planetary systems analyst, consulting metaphysician, ordained minister, and award-winning author. And since 1972, she has taught and consulted in many areas of metaphysics. Michelle, it is just such a pleasure to have you back on the show.
I'm always honored.
I'm just hoping tonight to be able to get out more than I did last time. I was so amazed by what you said. I think most of what I said was wow, through the whole show. So I hope you said a little bit more intelligent tonight than that.
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, that's never a bad thing. That's to be amazed. Yeah, and Michelle, I would like to tell you too. You know, you really. I was interested in astrology before I met you, but you really spurred a lot of interest and extra interest and growth in me on that. And I just want to thank you for that. Really appreciate that. It's just a very interesting field, and I am just delighted to talk to someone who was an influence in that. So,
you know, I find astrology is just one of the most amazing fields. It's been around for thousands of years. It's all based on research and hindsight. And now with computers, our advancements are just tremendous. It's just fantastic. There's no area of life that cannot be examined through astrology, and it can be done for each individual, or it can be done for a city or a country. So there's so much information available, everything about life, past lives, future lives. It's all embedded there. It's just a matter of having an astrologer who has the type of experience necessary to get the information out.
Well, that's an important point.
That's really interesting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there, oh. Rob, but I was going to say I hadn't really thought of it in terms of larger areas or groups, the cities or how would you do that? How do you do that with the cities or areas?
Well, you know, there are a number of different techniques that different astrologers use. The ancients used a technique that we call the ingress, and you use the cardinal ingresses. The word ingress in astrology actually means entering. And it has to do with when the sun is entering a cardinal sign. So when the sun is at 00 degrees of Capricorn or Libra or Aries or Cancer, those are the cardinal signs. At that moment, a chart is created based on the location of the kingdom, okay? For example, in the United States, it would be for the White House. And each quarter of the year, actually shows a chart that gives us an understanding of what will happen during that quarter. And that's the way the ancients did it. I use that technique because no one really absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt knows what the birth chart of the United States of America is, as opposed to, for example, Israel, which was only born in the last century, so we have an actual date and time for Israel. But, you know, there's huge debate that goes on with astrologers about the United States. I personally believe that the U.S. government was born on July the 4th at 2:21 p.m. In 1776. Why I believe that, I think that, well, number one, Benjamin Franklin was an incredible, a master astrologer, and if you look on the bill with Franklin on the front, on the back of the bill is Philadelphia Hall. And if you look at the clock tower, it says 2:21 p.m.
Oh, that is amazing.
Franklin made sure to leave that for us all to see. So it's very interesting. But there are astrologers who will say, no, no, they don't agree with that. But it seems to work. I've been using that chart for many, many years, probably for two decades now, or more than two decades, and it seems to work pretty effectively.
Well, you know, you mentioned something about experience, and I think that makes a big difference. You know, anybody can go put in a chart. Anybody can go put in a, you know, the information and now with computers generate a chart. But understanding that chart, understanding the nuances of it and the flavors and textures of the transits and whatnot is something that, you know, no computer can really tell you and no computer can really interpret for you. And that's why it's so important, you know, when you're dealing with this, if you're seeking that out, if anybody in the audience is seeking astrology out, you know, in terms of consulting, that you need to find someone who has that experience like Michelle, because it is just a, it's a night and day difference. And I can speak this from personal experience. I have done a little bit and I'm amazed at how it's so amazing how experienced astrologers make you look like just a beginner. I mean, you know, on just the simplest of things. So you've got to really have someone that has that experience. And we're just really lucky.
That's absolutely true. And the longer you live as an astrologer, the more experience you just develop. Your curiosity never stops. I've been known to wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, my Lord, what's going to happen when this transit takes place? And I jump out of bed and I go to my computer and I start investigating a particular transit that I know will be coming up maybe in the next year or maybe in the next 5 years. And it might be personal or it might be for the planet in terms of a nation or it might be for my city, whatever. But it's always, always interesting. Astrology is a fascinating, fascinating world because it's really covers the journey of each nation and each human being, and our journeys are interlocked. So when you look at family combinations, children with parents, or relationships between two people, whether they're friends, business partners, married, lovers, whatever, you see the interconnections between these beings, and you see how, perhaps through past lives, the whole story is told. And I find that also very fascinating. It can be very elucidating for an individual. Just a few weeks ago, I was working on someone's chart, and they had asked me, they'd heard that I also look at children's charts, and they had two children. And when I was finished explaining the relationship between each child and each of the parents, she was just completely blown away. She says, well, that just explains so many things. She has one son who, she said, you know, it's weird, she said to me. She says, this is really weird, but now you've explained it. She says, I'd sit on the couch, and when this particular son comes over and he puts his arm around me, it just feels like he's more than a son, and it's just too weird. And she kind of backs away from it. And when I was able to look into the chart, what I ended up telling her about that son was that in a past life, that was a husband to her. And so he's going to protect her, and he's going to be there for her through this lifetime. So, you know, there are so many interesting facets when we look at the relationships that we have through astrology, not just looking at our own individual charts.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about, you know, although that's really logical to do the family to everyone's chart, and I can really see how that could really help everybody communicate and understand each other a lot better.
It really does, actually. You know, I had a family many, many, many years ago. This was in the early 90s who came to me, and there were two sons, a daughter, a husband, and a wife. And I remember when I first looked at all the charts, I just looked at the woman, and I says, how in the world do you even live in the family? Because everything about her in her chart was about freedom. It was fire. It was variability. It was energy that says I must go outside the box. And everything in everyone else's chart was about security, staying put, having roots. And I just looked at her and I says, I don't know how you handle it. And she said, I don't know how I do either. And I was able to explain to her, you know, the best ways to work with the situations with each of these members of the family. But, you know, personally, as an individual, I just looked at her and thought, you know, you did your job, you made your commitment, you had the children, you need to get on with your life, you really don't belong in this family. But, you know, I don't ever encourage anyone to divorce or anything like that. But I do question, you know, how do they handle it and how can I help them handle it better?
Well, I just want to let our listeners know, Michelle has graciously agreed to give, we'll say, many astrological readings. Obviously, we don't have time in an hour to even do one full chart, let alone multiple people. But she's graciously agreed to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and give our call-in number. That number is 888-627-6008. And that is, again, 888-627-6008. And if you'd like a reading, just give us a call. Michelle will handle that. Michelle, what do you, just so people know, what would people need?
Well, for the most accurate amount of information, I need the day or date that a person is born, the month, day, and year. I need as close to exact the time of birth, because the time determines how the wheel is set. Mm-hmm. And by knowing how the wheel is set, each little piece of that pie, if you've seen an astrological wheel, it's made up of like a big circle that has 12 pieces of pie in it. Each one of those pieces of pie tells us about your outlook on life, and it gives us a lot more clarity as to how the planets are working in your world. So the time is very important. And then, of course, the location. I need to know the city and the state, or the city, the county, and the state. In the United States, there are a lot of counties that have cities that have the same name. For example, in the state of New York, a person might be born in Brooklyn, New York, but we automatically assume it's in Kings County, which is the Brooklyn that's in the five boroughs. But there's another Brooklyn in New York.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
and
yeah, definitely.
In the state of California, and I don't even know how many Glendales there are, although we automatically assume if they say, well, I'm born in Glendale, that it's in Southern California and in the L.A. area. But so it is good to know the county. And if a person is born in a foreign country, well, then I need the city and the nation. So when we create a chart for an individual, when a person takes their first breath, that's the moment where soul comes into the physicality. And at that moment, my hypothesis is that all of these great, magnificent, sentient beings that we call luminaries and planets leave an imprint of where they are positioned at that moment in time, and that imprint is left on the DNA. And then that imprint is activated as those planets and luminaries continue to move through space and time. So this causes us to have draws in certain directions or draw back in other areas. It's very interesting how we respond to the transits of planets and luminaries.
Well, that's true. You know, I believe we talked about it last time, and I think I forgot to link that article to you. But you know, we're finding out in biology now that the moon and I think the article was specifically talking about the moon, but I mean, you know, you can extrapolate that to the other planets, but that the moon exerts an influence that they were able to detect on plants. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the specifics, but I mean, we're getting to a time now where we can detect these subtle variances, and any change like that that can be detected at that level, I mean, it only goes to reason that it would have an effect in, you know, in different ways. Ways we can't detect right now, but ways that are certainly there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the moon is very, very, very important. Western astrology, you know, Western astrology, European and North American, and even Australian, Western astrology emphasizes the sun, but all Eastern astrology emphasizes the moon. And I don't think that anyone should not emphasize the moon, because the moon moves rapidly, and as it moves, it has an emotional charge. It will pull you emotionally in a variety of directions. So where your moon is located in your chart and where your progressed moon is located in your chart tells us a tremendous amount of information about the individual. when, you know, before I got online with you, I was working over the charts for the United States of America because I feel this election is one of the most important elections in the history of this nation. And to give you an understanding of how fast the moon moves, it moves in the progressed chart 1 degree every month. So you're looking at going through an entire sign every 30 months. And that makes a huge change in the outlook of a nation or the outlook of an individual. And when we look at the United States chart, for example, right now our progressed moon is right at 19 degrees of Libra. So for the last 19 months, we have been trying to find some state of balance in our communication with each other. Have we done it? I don't think so, but
no.
No, we're working towards it.
Well, Michelle,
and
we are
having a huge diatribe. It just continues to spew information, and people are searching for a way to connect, even though they're not connecting. So it's interesting. When we get out of this, and also I will also add this, with the moon in Libra, a nation can be focused on the gossip. It can be focused on the little things or the surface issues rather than the deep issues. But it's not going to be there forever in just 9 months. Well, in, 11 months. In 11 months, and I'm saying this as of November 6th because all my charts are based on November 6th, which is the election date. So 11 months after November 6th, we will move, that moon will go into Scorpio. Wow, what a difference that's going to make.
Yeah. Wow, that is a huge difference.
Where is power? Who is in power? What's going on behind the scenes? And who's in control of our money?
We could spend an hour on that, that one just, topic right there.
Wow.
Not even scratch the surface. Michelle, we have a caller here.
Jennifer, let me just get to my computer. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's Jennifer from Saginaw, Michigan. We're going to bring her on. Yeah, let's see, Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Welcome to Well-Rounded Corners. Michelle, why don't you take it over and see what
What's your date of birth, Jennifer?
My birthday is December 10th, 1959, 9:13 p.m., Saginaw, Michigan.
All right, we'll bring that up in just a second. Like it looked everything up just fine. We'll take a look. Now, do you have a specific issue that you want to look at?
I certainly do.
I'm not surprised. So tell me, I can see Pluto's been working you over. Pluto's sitting right on top of your progressed Venus and on top of your Saturn, and that by itself tells me major transformations in your life. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Don't leave out the progressed moon. Don't leave out the progressed moon. It's been beating that up, too.
Well, I got to start somewhere. I'll get to that in a second, but if you're familiar with your chart, then you know what I'm talking about. Pluto has been making a major challenges in terms of love in your life, whether that's love for hobbies or love for people or love for children or your investments. But it's been making major transformations, and that's not always easy, because when Pluto does things, sometimes if you don't know how to let go properly, if you don't feel its energy as it moves in, what ends up happening is it rips everything away from you, and then you find yourself having to start life all over again. So it can be a very painful and difficult planet. And making a square, of course, making a square to your progressed moon can be a challenge in terms of your home, in terms of your public persona, in terms of your family. And then we'll take it a couple of steps further. You know, when we look at what is the moon control in your world, we've got the moon has to do with past life experiences. So family and the family connections that you have from past life experiences have driven some of your investments, and it looks like it has a lot. It may have a lot to do with your father, love of your father, and big challenges coming up for you to transform the way that you see him, the way that you see how you invest as a result of him. And also, this may have to do even with a physical property. Does that all make sense to you?
Absolutely. I'm getting divorced from my second husband who walked out on me, who's a Pisces.
Oh, well. Wow.
And I have two kids. And the ninth house is ruled by...
It's ruled by, well, you have Pisces there, so it's ruled by both Jupiter and Neptune. And you have Uranus.
But it's ruled by 28 Neptune. So that's even worse, right?
Well, 28 degrees Pisces. It's not 29. It's not the critical degree, but you have your south node at that critical degree, if that's what you're getting at. The south node is 29 degrees Pisces. So that's a critical degree. And what does that tell us? That tells us that in this lifetime, you have brought forward issues from past lives that have to do with types of imprisonment, types of ways that you have sabotaged yourself. When we take a look, you know, the fact that Cancer rules that 12th house, it's indicative to me that this is coming mostly through family and family relationships. And so there is a hole, and there could be legal process that gets involved with this, with the south node in the ninth house. But it says that in this lifetime, you're going to finish it all up. You're saying, I'm winding it up. I'm not going to go another lifetime dealing with all this stuff. I'm going to get it all done in this lifetime. So, you know, that doesn't make life easy for you. And, of course, Uranus, a couple of years back, went right over that south node, so it probably turned your whole world upside down.
It's probably when he left.
Hmm. Yeah. Not easy.
May I please ask you about that, about my Saturn getting walloped by Uranus and Pluto?
You can always ask me, and I'm going to take a look. I see Saturn is at 13 degrees of Capricorn in your progressed and 7 degrees natally, and Pluto on top of it.
Yeah.
Pluto's going to hit that a couple of times. You know, Pluto is a very slow mover, and it goes back and forth. It goes retrograde, then it goes direct again. And Saturn in your chart has to do with relationships. It has to do with marriage. It also has to do with work, and it has to do with your health. So putting Pluto on top of Saturn can actually make your health turnover. So you want to be very aware of Pluto on top of Saturn. You want to be more cautious. You want to take extra care to make sure that you are being kind to yourself. Of course, the good news is Saturn, you were born with Saturn in Capricorn. So Saturn is strong, and your progressed Saturn is in your sixth house at this time at 13 degrees. And, of course, it rules that sixth house. So you have strong health no matter what Pluto does to you and beats you up. You're still going to come through it more than likely. You know, it's going to take a whole lot more than Pluto to bring you down. You're very capable. Your body is a strong body. Saturn makes for very strong bones, strong teeth, strong skin. And so, you know, to have Saturn in that position, it's very powerful. To put Pluto on top of it, of course, it says, I will probably transform work. And, of course, Pluto going through the fifth house, this is the house of our investments, our children, our hobbies, and our love. When Pluto goes through this house, we transform. By the time it comes out of this house, the kind of work that you were doing when it first entered this house is completely different. You will move towards doing something that you really love. And that's a great thing that Pluto actually does, because we move closer to who we really are. It doesn't do it necessarily easily unless you know how to walk with Pluto, and that's not always an easy thing. But I always recommend to all my clients, when Pluto is active, go with it. Don't fight it. Don't try to hang on to the past. Don't try to hang on to what you think is best for you. Go forward, because in going forward, you're going to get through the tunnel faster, you're going to find the light at the end, and you're going to find happiness quicker. There's no reason to stay holding on to a blanket that's just a bunch of threads. It's better to go forward and get the new blanket.
Thank you. So also Uranus is squaring it.
Yeah, you know, this whole Pluto-Uranus square that we've been having going on for the last 6-7 months, it's been a challenge to everyone on the planet in many, many different ways. But to have it personally active in your chart, you have not been having a good time. This is usually difficult and it can be tremendously emotional. The moon in Aries is kind of nice to have instead of a moon, for example, that you were born with moon in Taurus. Because with it in Aries, you have the ability to push through it without being in or showing as much pain. Moon in Taurus, right at the top of your chart, tells me what your basic issue is and what you need to let go of. And Pluto, of course, tried to work with you on that when it was at 3 degrees, which is a few years back. And what it is, if you're not familiar with what the moon in Taurus does, it causes people to be over-loyal. It causes them to be loyal to individuals even when those people do not deserve that loyalty. They show nothing, and they have no right to your loyalty. And you need to learn to find people that you trust and ask them, give me a reality check. Am I doing too much here? Have I overdone it? I like to teach people who have their moon in Taurus to use what I call the three-strike plan. Pay attention. Where are the red flags, and how many are you going to allow before you go and take the next step? You know, Pluto at the same time, even though it's doing all of this hard stuff in your chart, it's also making a trine to Pluto. And that trine to Pluto is a doorway for a tremendous transformation that can open a doorway for a change in your value system. It can also bring you a change in the way that you will bring in money. So Pluto isn't all bad. Pluto is just really challenging.
Thank you. Like all change. I'm supposed to sell my land, aren't I? Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I wish you many, many blessings.
Thank you, Michelle. You're the best.
Well, we have to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll have more of Michelle. She'll be taking your calls. Wonderful advice, Michelle. I love the way you put things. It's very nice.
Yes.
I'm going to give you that number again. You can call in over the break. The number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. We'll be right back.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's AlabamaReiki.com.
Welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. We have Michelle Avante with us, astrologer. I'm going to give that number again, just in case anybody didn't get it the last time. It's 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Michelle has agreed to give callers a little free miniature astrologer reading, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Michelle, I appreciate you doing that for us.
No, it's fun. It's, you know, to have all this knowledge, it's a gift that needs to be shared, and to be able to do it on a radio program is a great way to introduce people to astrology and to help them at the same time. So it's always a gift, both ways.
Well, I, you know, Rob had commented at the beginning how he, you know, it got him really interested. I have to say, you know, what you said, I'm not going to say wow again, but what you said, seriously, what you said the last time was just so, just right on target that I just was seriously amazed. So we are really honored to have you back.
Yeah, I found a lot of, I found all of what you said very true and it's very interesting. And it was confirmed by other sources as well, so it's very interesting. Still haven't had the inheritance thing, but who knows? That'll
well, that's you know, probably. you made a comment, Michelle, when you were looking at my chart the last time about my mother and what she had said at the moment I was born, that she was to be my teacher, and you wouldn't have known, but I had just gotten to know her as a guide right before, just like 2 weeks before you talked to us, and her comment to me was, and you would have no way of knowing this, her comment to me, the first thing she said when I journeyed to meet her, or journeyed and met her as a guide, and she said, I've been your teacher since you were born, and I didn't get to teach you in life, and that's what I'm here to do now. I couldn't take care of you well when I was alive in that life where you knew me, but now I'm the combination of all your female ancestors, and we pass the gifts to you. And I'm your teacher and have been since you were born. And then you said that, and that's why I kept saying, wow.
Yeah. You know, I have people, I also do, of course, metaphysical. I'm a metaphysical minister, and I also do metaphysical consultations. And I have people who ask me from time to time, well, what's the difference between these two things? And what did they do when you look at one versus the other? You know, astrology and metaphysics confirm each other. They are not in any way different. They're really going to come through and say the same thing. The difference really is that metaphysics can reach across all boundaries, all time and space. And so if you just met somebody, metaphysics can answer the question about who you just met, where astrology is limited and simply can't, because we can't identify who that person is. We can identify certain things, but not as specific as metaphysics can. But astrology does something that metaphysics doesn't do, and that is timing. Astrology, the timing is very, very exact. It can be right to the day, right to the hour, depending on how important it is for the situation. So they work together, and they give the same basic information, but one has a strength in one area and a strength in the other, in the other area with the other one. So,
and then you
like
put
so
them
many
together.
Things in life, you know, like so many things in life seem to work like that. That synastric type way. And actually, we have someone who wants to give their birthday and information, but doesn't want to be on the air. So, so you can just see, waiting for that from the network here. Let's see here. Everybody's waiting with bated breath. Here we go. Let's see here.
Do we have a name?
Let's see. Seth from Castro Valley, California. Castro looks like it's spelled you know, regular spelling, Valley, California. January
23rd, 1980.
At 11 p.m. That's just a very few short days before I was born.
Mm-hmm. 11 p.m. and in Castro Valley, California.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see what comes up. don't know. Is this a male or a female?
It's a male.
That's what I thought. Okay. I probably heard you correctly. I wasn't sure.
I don't know if I said, but that's interesting.
So do we have a particular issue that they want me to look at?
I'm asking that now. I believe, let's see, love. The domain of things, I guess. So anything related to love or relationships?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's take a look. You know, when we look here, the very first thing in the house of love that's noticeable is Neptune is now traveling through this house. And Neptune takes forever. It's a very slow planet moving through a house. It's just at 1 degree of Pisces right now. The south node of this individual is at 0 degrees of Pisces. So if they've met someone in the last year or so, they would have met someone from a past life. Right now, Neptune is in retrograde. It will activate, again, that south node. So there is a possibility, again, that they will meet someone. It would be nice if Neptune could move a little faster and catch up to the progressed sun, but it will not be able to do that. At this point in time, however, Chiron is on top of the progressed sun. And that's a lovely statement. Chiron actually brings in soul groups. So they may find themselves connecting with individuals who are part of their soul group, beings who have a natural affinity for each other and will bring them a lot of happiness. There's a lot of success and happiness that comes from these connections. So that's a lovely statement, and that's going on at this time and will continue probably over this next couple of weeks. Additionally, in this house, we have Venus at 9 degrees of Pisces. This is in the actual natal chart. So I tip my hat to you. You're a person with tremendous compassion, a very loving individual, and you have to be very careful. People with Venus in Pisces can be too kind. They can become a mark for others and can be used by others. So they do have to use discretion when they connect with people. They have to pay attention to any red flags that go up because they're so loving and so compassionate that they can be easily taken for a ride, and you want to be careful of that. Not that you should be paranoid, just to be aware. So I do bring that up. When we look at the progressed moon right now, progressed moon's close to the midheaven at 11 Cancer, and, of course, in the last couple of months, it was making a lovely trine to that Venus. So they may have met someone in the last couple of months, or they may have just fallen in love with the house in the last couple of months. That's also possible, or with a new career. But that also brings a desire for family. Having one's moon in Cancer brings a desire for home, for family, for security, for love that is comforting. So that is going on, and that can be understandable why the individual would be asking about love. What will happen, let's see where we've got. Right now, Venus in the sky is not being of any help. The progressed Venus is no help. Let's see what Saturn is doing, since Saturn naturally rules this house. And Saturn is going to move into a position here that is going to give a doorway probably for a relationship that will bring you a very long, a very stable relationship. How soon will that be? Let me just move this forward a little bit. It's not very far. It's not very far away at all. We're looking at it starting to activate somewhere around December 22nd or so of this year, around Christmas time. And that activation continues until it hits exact right at January the 5th, 2013. So there is a lovely doorway opening up. Now, Saturn probably is going to go retrograde, so it may open up that doorway more than once. At any rate, I would be paying attention during this period in time to who shows up in your life. Jupiter, unfortunately, is not giving you the green light, because Jupiter right now is in Gemini, and that's a square to this Venus. However, Jupiter is going to move into, when it hits around 19 degrees, it will be long past its activation of the natal Venus, and it will begin to activate the progressed Venus, and so it will give a green light at that point. So it's a little bit down the road, but I'm going to take you to that spot. Let's see where that'll bring you. Somewhere around May, early May, we have Saturn is in retrograde, and so there's going to be a period of time in here where that Saturn's going to turn around and open that doorway again, and you've got both Jupiter and Venus working where you want them to give you that relationship. So you've got something coming up, and that's pretty exciting. You know, sometimes I have to tell people, well, it's 7 years away, but it looks like you've got some pretty exciting things happening. Also, Uranus is going to, in the very short future, it's going to make an attempt to move into your seventh house, which could make you suddenly decide to marry. And with Aries on the seventh house cusp, you're someone who may marry more quickly than the rest of us. But unfortunately, it doesn't quite make it. It turns around, backs up, and that's typical of Uranus. But it will move into that house a year later, in the end of April, the beginning of May 2014. And so at that point in time, there may be a bit of a struggle because Mars is also fighting it, but and Jupiter is making a square to it. But nonetheless, Uranus may get its way, and you're more likely to make a decision, an impulsive decision to marry. So I'd be a little careful of that. It's not terrible to have Uranus be the one who drives a marriage, but I much prefer it when we have Jupiter driving the marriage, because Jupiter, when you marry under Jupiter, you marry under the gifts that Jupiter brings and the opportunities that Jupiter brings. Uranus does not bring stability, it brings change. So to give you a little bit more guidance, which isn't a terrible distance, really, we'll go forward to where Jupiter will actually be working with that beautiful progressed Venus, and that would be a much more auspicious choice in time for a marriage for you. And that period of time is right about November of 2014. And interestingly enough, of course, the progressed Sun has moved. It will at that time be at 8 degrees, 38 minutes Pisces, so it's applying right to the natal Venus, which says success, love. It can also bring a child. That also has the ability to bring a child, and most likely would be a female child. So hope that's helpful to you. Were there any other questions?
Well, I got some info sent to me here for another caller who didn't want to be on the air. But Seth, I hope that was beneficial
to
you.
Okay, let me open this up so we can create a new one. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. It is Marcia from Florence, Alabama.
Florence, Alabama?
Mm-hmm. It's in Lauderdale County.
And date of birth?
She doesn't know the time, unfortunately, but date of birth is 11-11-62.
November 11th, what year?
1962. 1960?
62, sorry. Oh, 62, yeah. You're fading out on me for some reason.
I apologize.
That's okay. So now, you know, I will be a little, unfortunately, a little off. I can't give quite as good specifics without a time, but we'll see what we can do. So is there a question?
Let me see if there's any specific question, any specific area to focus on. I'm receiving this via chat one moment.
Without having a time of birth,
we don't really know
where the planets are in terms of houses. So where you've heard me say, well, for love, we've got it going on in this house, I don't have that information.
Right.
So all I can really talk about is the planets themselves and what they bring to the table and who's being activated. So,
yeah, no specific area, I think, just general.
Okay. Well, let's just see if I see anything that's really important to note. Pluto, of course, we know is almost at 7 degrees, a little under 7 degrees, and when it turns around, it will be applying to her sun, her progressed sun, and that's that. She may be feeling that, or has been feeling that. That can be a statement that says, "I need to transform who I am. I need to become more powerful within myself. I need to empower myself." Could also say that I need to transform my relationship with my father. Those are some of the statements that could be embedded in that combination. Uranus, of course, has also activated that particular combination, and so there may have been some changes in her relationship with her father or how she feels about herself. I always say to be cautious. Don't overdo it. When you find yourself feeling radical or feeling a need to radically make a change, take a deep breath, say a prayer, come back into balance, and then examine the situation. Don't let Uranus sweep you up by your feet and run you out the door, because it can do that, and it's not always wise. It's always better to reconfirm what's really going on before you do something radical. Let's see, where is Saturn? Is a 27 in the sky. Doesn't seem to be activating anybody, which is nice news. Jupiter is a 15 Gemini and has already passed some of the nice activation that it offered with Saturn. So there may have been some opportunity a little while back that may have helped her to stabilize, whether it's a relationship with her father or stabilize something in her world. Not having the houses determined, it can be a little difficult to know where the activation is really occurring in the individual's life. But it did open a doorway at that point in time and caused a lot of, may have caused a lot of stress. Jupiter making a quincunx action to her natal sun and has already activated her Mercury and her Neptune, and at this point in time is quincunx Neptune in her progress, indicates that there is stress going on, and the stress and reevaluation may be about her belief systems, her spiritual connections, her religious background. It may be about media. It could also be about media or legal entities, what goes on with legal issues in her world. It has to do with what is real power, where is truth, what's behind the scenes, and what are we really told? Are we told the truth or are we told lies? And it causes the individual to rethink their world. It's not an easy issue. It's not an easy transit. Jupiter makes everything bigger than it appears. So where before some of the issues may have felt small, when Jupiter puts its magnifier on it, everything looks enormous. So again, take a deep breath, step back, and do your best to ground it, because with this combination, you can stress. And you find yourself just mulling over everything a million times. And you don't want that to become a physical issue. Again, I don't have the placement in the wheel where these planets are, so I don't know if it is directed towards a physical issue. But this combination would certainly make me want to warn the individual that if they are taking any form of drugs, whether medical or otherwise, you want to be extremely cautious. You want to be very careful with them because, again, Jupiter can exacerbate everything. And even though we think of it as the great gift giver, in a quincunx action, it can give an overdose. So you want to be extra cautious during this time. This, and if I had the whole chart to look at, I might be saying, well, your doctor doesn't really know the exact information, and so you want to ask them a myriad number of questions and give them a lot more information to make sure that the drug that they're prescribing for you is not dangerous to you, and you want to pay attention to any reactions you would have from any drug you'd be taking during this period. Also, if I saw the individual going into surgery, then I would be asking them to really make sure they make a strong connection with the anesthesiologist, that they are very careful not to give them more than they need. Quincunx between Jupiter and Neptune, especially Neptune and Scorpio, which Scorpio, of course, is the sign of surgery, we want to be pay attention to. So not knowing all the details, I can only, you know, give you a certain amount of information. I will say this. I will say that you were born with Venus conjunct the Sun, and that's a lovely, lovely statement. It's a statement that says you are protected physically. It's almost like having an angel on your shoulder who will always make sure that if you do have to go in for surgery, you're going to come out. So that's always very, very good news. And not everybody has that by any means, so that's a nice little piece of information.
Let's see, wow, I said wow.
But, you know, now, see, he's doing it.
It's contagious, I guess. But, I mean, really, you know, that's...
That's some very useful information.
And to, yeah, not
I really think it is. I don't just tell my clients these things. I certainly use it myself. I'm very... when I do electional... surgery charts, I don't usually advertise that I do them, but my clients that I've had for 20 years know I do them, and I certainly would be remiss if I was not there for them going in for surgery. If you can choose your time and your day, you are 1,000% ahead of the game, because then you're able to have greater success and faster recovery, and there are lots of assurances, and
but couldn't
I like
that go
to know
for,
that those
for
assurances
anything? I mean,
are there for any,
you know,
client
if you can,
who's going into surgery. So,
I mean, if you can pick the time and day of anything, isn't that to your advantage if you have
absolutely? But
you,
when it comes to surgery, most doctors only do it certain days; they
right.
only use have certain times. But
right.
still,
what, 3 in the morning or something like that. So.
Yeah, well,
morning.
You know, years ago I had one client who wanted to go in for. A facelift. So it was a surgical procedure, but it was voluntary, completely voluntary. And I looked forward about 3 years to find her the best date and time. And she also was very good. She made sure to get me all the information on her doctor, and he was willing to give it to her. And she was willing to wait till that day. And so they booked it, and she did. And when she came out of that surgery, the doctor said to her, he said, I know you did this astrologically, he says, and this is the best surgery I've ever done. He says, everyone should do it this way.
Wow. That's yeah. nice to hear from the doctor. I said it again. That's nice to hear from the doctor, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, of course, they can't do it that
website,
way, because then the doctors wouldn't fill up their time zones.
Yeah, we're
going to
have to
be,
post,
you know,
post a number of wows,
probably buying
I
certain
think.
Dates.
But yes. Look, I mean, you always create a high number of wows, so that's a that's a wonderful thing. Well, we're getting, actually, we have a call. If we can take it, we've got just a few minutes left. We can squeeze it
okay.
in real quick. Suzanne from Manhattan, got about 3 minutes, Suzanne.
Hi. Date of birth?
Yes, 11. It's
November
11,
29, 1966.
Time of birth?
9:53 p.m.
9:53 p.m. And place of birth?
Manhattan.
If my computer likes that. It does. I like
well,
that.
Well, you know, that's what my birth certificate says.
Yeah,
so
well, that's
we're
usually what we go by.
York,
yeah, that works fine. That's perfect. So let's take a look. Did you have a certain question you wanted me to look at or something you wanted me to emphasize?
Emphasize, like, life's purpose.
Life's purpose.
Obvious.
Very interesting question. The North Node is usually the directive that we're born with. It's our picture. spirit usually comes through the North Node to tell us what is soul's purpose in this lifetime. And looking at your chart, you have 15 degrees Taurus right at the midheaven. Taurus is all about the physicality in terms of beauty, creation, movement, hands-on, craftsmanship. Can be anything from massage therapy to dancing to painting, but not usually, it would be more sculpture, something that is a craftsmanship. And so the statement is to bring beauty to the world in a very simplistic way. That's what the statement is. Through my body, through my hands, through my movement, through my life, I am here to bring beauty to the world and to bring value. Because Taurus is all about value, I am here to bring value to life. So it's a very broad and very beautiful purpose. And, of course, your chart goes on to activate that North Node in a variety of ways. So as you go through life, what happens is you'll find different ways to manifest that purpose. But you have a lot of wonderful activity with that. Pluto is in a wide orb trine to the North Node when you were born. Saturn and Chiron are in a wide orb sextile to that North Node. These wide orbs give you a lot of latitude for designing your life the way you want it. Right now, your progressed moon is in Pisces at 11 degrees, so over the next, it's already activating your progressed North Node at 12 degrees of Taurus, and it will continue to activate over the next several months. Moon in Pisces gives a tremendous desire for the spiritual. It gives a desire to understand how we imprison ourselves through our own self-sabotage, through past life karma, through experiences that we don't necessarily remember. And there is a desire at this time with it in the eighth house for you to understand at a much deeper level what drives people to keep themselves from the freedom that they as spiritual beings have a right to. So you're going to express that through your body in some way and bring that kind of beauty home to the world. It's a very public statement with the North Node at the midheaven. You will publicly be seen to do these things. And I don't know if you do any artwork at this time or you do any massage therapy or you do something with your hands in some way, but you should. Is that helpful?
That's a great place to start. I like yoga.
Excellent. Yeah. Yoga is very aligned all the way around because it's a very spiritual practice at the same time. Your Venus, you were born with Venus at 12 degrees in Sag, so it's a quincunx action to that North Node. So there can be statements going on at a subconscious level, emotional level, as a result of your roots. Your dad could even be your mom, but it's probably your dad, and it could be even relationships with male energy that cause you to rethink and reconsider what you're doing and how you do it. Allow yourself to win out. Allow yourself to win out. It's fine to reconsider, but don't allow yourself to stop because of some religious practice or some old issue that comes from your father.
Wow. Okay. I said wow.
That's deep,
Suzanne.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Suzanne. We unfortunately have to go. We're out of time. Appreciate it very
much. Thank you so much, Michelle, and all of you. Thanks.
You're so welcome. Suzanne. I wish you every blessing.
Okay. Michelle, it's been wonderful having you again. I'd like to have you as many times as you'll come back. Listen, it's great.
Well, you know, anytime you call, I'll probably be here, Robert. I consider this part of the service of my life to be able to do things on the air. It allows people who can't necessarily reach me other ways to learn more about who they are and the incredible wonder of their own divinity.
That's wonderful sentiment, and I wish more people felt that way. Thank you so much.
I want to just take a quick reminder before we go. You can check out our website, wellroundedcorners.com. All the shows are free. You'll find this one day or two after broadcast. You can check us out on iTunes. Just search Well-Rounded Corners. Subscribe to us. All the shows will download automatically for you to your iPod, iPhone, iPad, anything that has an I in front of it. It'll automatically download. So appreciate you joining us. Michelle, again, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Until next time, good night.
Good night.